Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome one and all to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, April the 28th, as we come to you live tonight from our flagship station in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, the one and only AM 1380 WLRM, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have a very busy show for you tonight, as you have come to expect, as we always do and always have for the last 8 years. It's also the last night of Confederate History Month 2012, Saturday night of April, and it'll be our last official broadcast of Confederate History Month 2012, so stay tuned for the finale a little later on in the program tonight, and between now and then, we're going to be bringing a lot your way. Apparently, Keith Alexander, my co-host, who is here with me this evening, the anticipation for tonight's show is palpable. We already have an email. An email came in just a couple of moments ago from a listener in Kentucky who writes, "James, I just wanted to say hello from Kentucky, and as on most Saturday nights, I'm going to spend it listening to your show. I'll be writing my thesis, so I may not be in the chat room very much, but wanted to say hi anyway and send you good wishes. And best as always, Bill from Kentucky." A quick note to Bill and everyone else who may be curious at this point, who perhaps have tried to get into the chat. There will be no Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party tonight, unfortunately. A couple of hours before showtime, I got an email from Kyle Rogers, who is the webmaster of the Council of Conservative Citizens. They are experiencing some technical difficulties there on their website tonight. And so for this evening, and hopefully this evening only, we will have to postpone the online chat. We're going to be working to make amends on that and expect it to be back in working order next week. Now, before we get to Keith, we already have a caller. I said the anticipation was palpable. We've already had an email come in from a listener in Kentucky, and before the show even started, a caller was on the line waiting for us to come on stage, from North Dakota. North Dakota, you're on the air with James and Keith. Caller from North Dakota, are you still there?
Thank you very much. I was listening to your program last week. I do enjoy your program very much. However, I was just wanted to ask, now, last week, Keith had said, I believe it's the fellow that's with you.
Yeah, right.
He was saying that he did not support Adolf Hitler because he considers him to be a leftist. I wonder if he could elaborate a little bit on that.
All right, thank you for the call. Wasn't really on the agenda tonight, but we always cater to our fans, those who support us. So, Keith, take it from there, I guess.
Well, let me say this. I am certainly not a subscriber to the typical demonization of Adolf Hitler. If you read what he said, and I have, he's not nearly the monster that he is portrayed by the mainstream media. However, Nazi stands for National Socialist. He was a socialist. A socialist is a leftist. And our mantra here at the Political Cesspool is that liberalism is the modern face of evil. Basically, that covers all movements of the left. Like I said, Hitler was, and the Nazi Party were the National Socialists. The Communists were the International Socialists. And leftism is not good. Leftism is, for example, you know, we talk about race a lot on this program. It would seem that, for example, the black population in America is not real interested in tariffs or in trying to express economic nationalism and recover our manufacturing base, even though manufacturing jobs pay the most. Why not? Well, because of the influence of socialism, they apparently now would much prefer to work for the government because they're not troubled with pesky little indices or measurements of their job performance like productivity. We've got people that want a welfare state. Welfare state-ism is one of the primary characteristics of leftism and socialism and liberalism. So therefore, I can't be enthusiastic about any movement or any person that I identify with the left. So that's the reason, in a nutshell.
You know, I believe that's the first time we've ever even mentioned the name of Hitler on this show, except for the time when Pat Buchanan was on in 2008 to promote his book, Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. And I think certainly had we been alive then, as we are now and as Pat Buchanan does now, I think we would have taken an America First position on that war and left it at that. What else can you say about it? I mean, it's a dead issue, really, and it really it's senseless to talk about. Well, it's just not a contemporary issue that pertains to anything that we have to accomplish today. And so I think, but since you asked, we'll answer. Now, getting on to the topics at hand. Keith and I met for our customary pre-week or mid-week pre-show dinner a couple of days ago, and we laid out an agenda, and then lo and behold, the commercial appeal comes in with a couple of hot news items tailor-made for a show such as ours. But I'll tell you, Keith, we're coming up on a break here in just a minute or two, so perhaps before we sink our teeth in there, I don't want to open up the floodgates and let you run with this, and then we got to get into a break right when you're in the middle of setting the table. Why don't you give folks just a little teaser of what they can expect over the course of the remainder of your hour here as we gear up for segment two?
Well, this will be segment two. It may be segment three, but I'm going to get back to Confederate History Month before we leave this hour because it's my last chance to say something about it. But based on our Behind Enemy Lines format, we found two articles in Friday's commercial appeal, known locally as the Communist Appeal. First, EEOC protections cover the transgendered. That's the shorter of the two articles. And then, lo and behold, pernicious racism against black people has been discovered in the juvenile court system in Memphis. Now, stay tuned for our special take on both of these issues, a take that you're not going to get anywhere else in the mainstream media.
That's right. And in between now and then, the website, if I do say so myself, ladies and gentlemen, the website has been absolutely scintillating the last few days. Big story last night. If I could give you a shameless tease and tell you about one of the topics we'll be talking about in the second hour, that being a waitress in London. An 18-year-old young lady in London was said to have a scientifically perfect face in terms of her symmetry, the distance between her eyes and then her bottom lip and this, that, and the other. Scientifically perfect face, they say. If you want to see a picture of her, thepoliticalcesspool.org. How is that for a hook and a teaser? You want to see what a scientifically perfect face looks like on an 18-year-old woman, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're going to be talking about that story and much more tonight. We're just getting started. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked. As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up, America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Enough bantering, spinning of the wheels. Let's get down to some hardcore political news and commentary, the likes of which, as Keith said earlier, you will not find anywhere else on the mainstream radio except right here in the political cesspool. EEOC... protections cover now the transgendered, ladies and gentlemen. And for the scoop and analysis in this story, here's Keith Alexander.
Well, first of all, this is a pretty short article, so let me read it to you. The agency that enforces federal job discrimination laws has, for the first time, ruled that transgender people are protected from workplace bias. As a in a groundbreaking and unanimous decision late last week, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and a commission said a refusal to hire or otherwise discriminate on the basis of gender identity is by definition discrimination under federal law. Now, okay. Everybody is getting in on the act. You know, what's next, as you said? You know, is bestiality next? You know, what type of perverse, dangerous, pathological behavior is going to be sanctioned as not only not bad, but so good that we need to have the federal government protect it with the whole mechanism of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which, by the way, was created under the infamous, at least in our opinion, 1964 Civil Rights Act, which was supposed to be for the exclusive benefit of black people when it was first enacted. But, of course, it's grown like Topsy, and now all sorts of inferior type of behavior seems to be protected. Now, there is one group that is not protected by the EEOC and will never be protected by the EEOC unless, lo and behold, the federal government starts enforcing the Civil Rights Act of 1964 in accordance with its plain language. That group, of course, are white Gentiles. They're never going to be protected. But they are, quite frankly, the only group that is really the serious focus of invidious discrimination in today's America. Affirmative action prevents your children and mine and you and me from competing for federal jobs, for competing for federal contracts. Every other group is giving preference over us. Under the Code of Federal Regulations now, there are 44 race and gender categories for preference to get federal jobs and federal contracts. Number one, the group most favored are black females. Number 44, the group that has no preference over any other group, the low man on the totem pole, so to speak, is white, non-Hispanic males. So, James, give us your take on this.
So, if I am a white, heterosexual, southern male, or as Paul Craig Roberts said, white, heterosexual, able-bodied male, that's from the South. Where does that put me lower than number 44? I guess that would. To be a Southerner or a German, you're lower than the last. But let me ask you this, Keith. Walk us through the logical progression of the egalitarian movement. Where did it start? Who are the players? Where are we at now? And what's next?
Well, it started in the late 40s with the integration of the armed forces under Harry Truman, a turncoat Southerner. Well, at least a border stater. He was from Missouri. We started out with the proposition in the Brown case that blacks are the same as or just as good as white people. That was the first one. That was the one that had the most pizzazz and got people on the bandwagon. Then we went under the Warren Court to the next level, criminal law. Criminals are the same as or just as good as law-abiding citizens. That's where we got Gideon versus Wainwright. That's where we got Miranda warnings. That's where we got Escobedo versus Arizona. And all of these other cases, Batson, in which they have intentionally made it more difficult to apprehend and prosecute criminals. Why? The left thinks that criminals do a wonderful job of destabilizing bourgeois society, and they don't want them hampered in their salutary efforts to do that, because that's what they really want to do. Then third, we had women are the same as or just as good as men, the feminist movement. And, of course, that type of equality doesn't exist except in the minds of liberals and bureaucrats. When it comes to competing in sports, they compete in separate leagues. But, of course, nothing's ever said of that. If they really had equality, let's do away with the WNBA and all these other groups. Let them all just try out for the same team in high school or in college and, you know, may the best person win. Of course, you know, they're not going to do that because they want to displace white males more and than anything else. Then you had plants and animals are the same as or just as good as human beings, the environmentalist movement. And now we have transgendered people, I guess is an offshoot of homosexuality. If you are homosexual to such an extent that you want to mutilate yourself physically and turn yourself into something that God didn't make you into, then not only is that not perverse, not only is that something to be looked down upon, that is something to be celebrated, like gay pride. We're supposed to be proud to be gay. I guess that means we're supposed to be ashamed to be heterosexual. And now you need to be proud if you're transgendered as well. I suggest that bestiality is going to be the new frontier beyond this. I don't know where they can go after that.
And to come full circle, to accentuate Keith's earlier point, all of those groups of people get preferential treatments. They get affirmative action. They get quotas. They're the beneficiary of quotas. They get set-asides. When they go in for a job, a scholarship, you name it, transgendered pervert, and let's just call them what they are. I mean, let's be frank here. Let's be real. They are going to be automatically placed ahead of the line for that job you want based upon their perversity over a normal person, as Keith said. Coming up very near another commercial break, so before we open up another can of worms, Keith, let's take a call from Ohio, Larry in Ohio. Larry, you're on the air.
When you said that you support an America First position, that you take an America First position on World War II, does that mean that you support the actions that the United States took in the bombings that they did in Europe during World War II? You supported the U.S. effort in World War II. Do you consider the defeat of Hitler's army to be a victory for America?
All right, hang on. Right, thank you for the call. I'm going to answer your question. But first of all, no more questions about Hitler. I mean, I don't care for Hitler one way or the other. It's not a topic that I care to talk about on this show. It's not a person I care to talk about on this show. So, it has nothing relevant to do about what we're fighting for. But to answer your question, America First, no, I would have lined up with Charles Lindbergh and the America First Committee in the late 30s and early 40s with regards to my America First position. I think America should not have fought in World War II. That's a pretty simple summary, but what else can I say?
We were bamboozled into getting in there by FDR, who is one of the more pernicious leftist to ever occupy the White House, and that's the way we feel about it. So, you know, don't try to put words in our mouth. Like James said, you know, we have a format here. We'd like to stay on the format. You know, don't come out of left field and ask us what we think about Hitler, for example, or what we think about War of the Roses or something in the middle of a show. Let's try to stay on topic.
Well, when we have people like Mark Reber from this Institute of Historical Review, when we have someone like Pat Buchanan talking about a book he wrote on that subject, then let's talk about it. You know, all questions are fair play, but because we are paleo conservatives, we often get unfairly characterized as quote unquote neo-Nazis, and that's just, you know, so you keep bringing up Hitler on this show, and it's only going to feed the scumbags that are out there that are trying to misrepresent what we're all about. So we just don't want to talk about it. Anyway, we're going to take a break, and we thank you for your call, Larry. I'm not, you know, condemning your call. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your question. But just for the record, we've got to take a break.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Again, very, very busy show tonight. We're going to be bringing you a lot of varied stories, but what could be one of the high points this evening is a story that Keith has in his hand right now. And I actually saw a teaser for this on one of the local news affiliates here. Apparently, there is big time racism. You know that word is coming. And any story that they have, racism has got to play some sort of a role in it, especially when you're in a majority black city like Memphis. And so, because blacks commit a majority of the crimes, and they are arrested more often than whites, that has to be a result of racism, not fair and balanced justice. So, Keith, tell them what's going on here with regards to, what is it, the juvenile detention center?
Well, the juvenile court system in Memphis, like most places, they have a separate court system for juveniles or youth. In Mississippi, they call it youth court. In Memphis, they call it juvenile court. But nonetheless, as usual, black people are getting the soft end of the stick. They're being unfairly singled out for invidious discrimination. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Let me just read the headline. Juvenile probe cites rights race. Justice Department report says black youth treated more harshly in court system. Of course, all of this is based on the assumption of equality, that everybody is equal in every respect. I guess, but I'm never going to see any type of report as to why blacks aren't just 13% of the NBA if people are all equal, for example, because they're 13% of the general population of the United States. Why aren't American whites 64% of the NBA?
I got to say this, and of course, the people who are anti-white would say, well, that's because blacks are superior athletes. Well, if race doesn't exist, first of all, if race is just a social construct, we're all just one big mass of humanity anyway, so how can blacks exist? But secondly, they'll be quick to say that blacks are superior athletes, but they'd be quick to call you a racist for insisting that whites are superior scholars or have superior IQs. And, of course, that's neither here nor there with regard to this subject, but a point of information nevertheless.
Well, I disagree that it's not on point with this subject, because this subject is based on the assumption of equality among all people. All people are just interchangeable atoms, and you can put a black person, they're the same as a white person, same as a Chinese person, a man and a woman are the same, every individual is the same, and of course, this is total hogwash. No child goes to school for 2 months without learning that some children can sing, some people can't hold a tune, some people are smart, some people are less smart, some girls are pretty, some girls are plain, some kids are more athletic than others. You know, come on, let's get real, people. This is ridiculous. And what in this tells you in regard to crime is that Justice Department statistics every year invariably show that black people are more likely to commit serious crimes per capita than white people. For example, interracial rape. There are over 37,000 almost every year. That's more than 100 a day of black-on-white rapes. What about white-on-black rapes? Again, almost every year, the official figure is less than 10, which means that the real figure could be zero, because less than 10 won't register on their database. But nonetheless, Hollywood and the liberal-run mainstream media is constantly trying to portray white-on-black rape as a big problem. We have the Duke LaCrosse hoax. We have the Tawana Brawley hoax. We have movies like A Time to Kill that featured apparently a bunch of snaggletooth troglodyte Ku Klux Klansmen going out and raping this virginal, sweet 10-year-old child, black child.
That must have been one of the 10 instances that happened perhaps each year, but that one made a movie.
Well, it never happened, and the guy that wrote about that, John Grisham, was just trying to ingratiate himself to the primarily Jewish-run publishing industry to get his first book published. He was like the paperback writer that the Beatles sang about. He could change it around. He could change the story. He could do whatever they wanted just to get him into print, and sure enough, he did, and, you know, it's been onward and upward for John Grisham ever since. But nonetheless, the fact that he slandered people from his region and his own race basically is forgotten in this. In fact, that's the best way to advance in the world is to be a race traitor, James. And what this shows, this particular juvenile court probe, shows what happens when you have a black president appointing a black U.S. Attorney General, Eric Holder, and they in turn appoint a black U.S. District Attorney in Memphis, Ed Stanton. Now, none of this deals with real crime problems, which are rampant in Memphis. Nobody is going to deal with the real crime problems, because the real crime problems basically emanate from the black community, and most of the effort of district attorneys and police are focused on the black community in Memphis, because for better or worse, like it or not, that's where most of the criminal activity is and comes from. Now, the fact that these people get detained more and get probation less may have something to do with the fact that more of them come from dysfunctional homes than the whites, so they can't be set out on probation. They commit more serious crimes and more crimes, so consequently they are going to predominate in the system. Furthermore, black people predominate in the city of Memphis. They're 65% of the population of Memphis. Non-blacks are 35% of the population. So again, this is this alternate universe that liberals live in. And it's premised on the assumption that everybody is alike, so if there is any discrepancy in the number of blacks imprisoned or processed by the juvenile court system than non-whites, then this is incontrovertible evidence of pernicious, invidious racism against blacks. You know, and again, we're always treated to an article. It's an article a day, or maybe an article a week at the very least, on a race issue, because as we've said before, the left never tires of resurrecting the ghost of the civil rights movement. We're supposed to think that, you know, the Klan is the most powerful organization in America, and they're riding again, terrorizing poor, innocent, helpless black people, and that invidious racism is just endemic throughout America, and that's why black people aren't, you know, prospering at the same level as other races, Asians, whites, even Hispanics, you name it.
And of course, even though the Klan is non-existent, everybody that's white's a member of it if they're to the, you know, right of Joseph Stalin. I mean, you know, James Dobson is a Klansman, according to the SPLC. I mean, he's on the hate watch list, just like me. Ralph Reed's on the hate watch list. I mean, all of these neutered, you know, males like these guys. But yeah, I mean, you know, you're all on it. If you don't walk the line to a T with regards to cultural Marxist dogma, you're going to be on the hate watch list. And once you're on there, there is no difference between you and a Klansman or a neo-Nazi or whatever they want to call you and whatever these people are. I've never met a Klansman. I've never met a neo-Nazi. Apparently they go to work every day. They pay mortgages. They go to church every week. They pay taxes. They raise families, because that's what we do and that's what we're called. So I don't know what's going on here, Keith.
Well, apparently they inhabit secretly the boardrooms of all American business, and they really are pulling the strings and in charge of everything, and they're undermining the best efforts of humble but lovable black people to get ahead in the world again. And see, they keep fanning the flames, the dying embers of the civil rights movement, because it's the one unqualified success of the left in the 20th century. It's the one manifestation of liberalism that both mainstream conservatives and liberals alike wholly endorse. And it shouldn't be endorsed because it was a camel's nose in the tent. They led with that particular initiative on purpose because they knew it would get the most support. And whenever they run into trouble with gay rights or with homosexual marriage or global warming or any other aspect of their agenda, they come running back to the civil rights movement with movies like The Help, for example, so that they can be identified with righteousness once again.
That's right. And you can't oppose so-called transgendered rights or so-called homosexual rights or whatever if you were on the side of Martin Luther King's crusade to eradicate private property rights and the freedom of association. You can't be for the misnamed civil rights movement and be against the transgendered rights movement. They're all one and the same. You're either for equal opportunity for all and special privileges for none, or you're not. There's no, you're either on our side or you're on the Marxist side. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. We got to take a break. We're going to take a call from Florida and let Keith go into Confederate History Month right after this.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Keith Alexander and I, even though the official TPC salute to Confederate History Month takes place during the third hour of each live broadcast during the month of April, We're here in the studio during the commercial break trying to find a fitting rendition of Dixie to play, and I don't know, we might be reduced to playing Elvis's version here if we YouTube's not giving us anything good. We did, you know, we played The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down last week. We did the Bonnie Blue Flag before that, and then the first week of the month we did the war version of Dixie. We're just trying to find a traditional version of Dixie here. If you can help us out, folks, find a traditional version of Dixie that we haven't played yet this month on YouTube, email it to me, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith, we got a caller from Florida real quick before you get into your dissertation. Caller from Florida, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Rick from West Palm Beach.
Hey.
And I enjoy your show, I always do, and I don't want to take up much time, but there was a thing on the news a couple of days ago, a plane that got quarantined in Chicago, and this white woman had gone down to Africa to adopt one of their little underprivileged ones, and apparently they thought they had monkeypox on the plane. So they quarantined the plane in Chicago, and they had these hazmat people coming all through the plane and whatever and stuff because they had bed bugs, bed bug bites and stuff. And it just struck me funny to be in Chicago, of all places, with the monkeypox. And when you think about it, I think the United States really does suffer from monkeypox. It's a fatal disease originating in Africa, right? And I want to bring your attention. I don't know if anybody saw that or not.
Yeah, no, I actually hadn't heard of that story, and thank you for the call. I mean, certainly with third world immigration, you're going to get, and we've covered this over the years, you're going to be reintroduced to any number of disease that Western medicine had previously eradicated here in our country. I even heard a few years ago, leprosy had made a comeback in some southwestern communities, and there have been many others, tuberculosis and many others that had previously been eradicated being reintroduced to the first world nation of America thanks to third world immigration. I mean, yeah, and you know, that's just one of any number of detrimental effects of third world immigration. There you go. Okay, Keith, over to you, my friend.
Okay, let's get into Confederate History Month, and again we answer the perennial question, why are we so interested in Confederate History Month? Why don't we let it go, for heaven's sake? This is what people outside the South who are paleoconservative tend to say. They say it on our blog, they say it to us when they can, but there's a reason. Conservatism is in retreat. Conservatism has been beaten in America basically since 1824. And the reason is the unequal yoking of red state America and blue state America, which is basically the same ideological cultural divide that led to the Civil War between the North and the South. Now, red state America is much larger than the old Confederacy. It includes the interior West and parts of the Midwest. Blue State America is larger too. It's New England, the upper Midwest, parts of the Eastern Seaboard, and what they call affectionately the Left Coast. Now, the Left Coast, Blue State America, has the upper hand just like they did in the Civil War. And because they have the upper hand, conservatism can never prevail. We can never have a conservative government that really enacts conservative legislation and conservative activity. It is not going to be sanctioned. It's going to be constantly under attack in the present system. And at least part of the reason for that is because Blue State America is still in charge. They're in charge of the media. They're in charge of higher academia. They're in charge of the military, for heaven's sake, James. You know, now we've got people running the army that say diversity is our greatest strength. They say when a Major Hassan guns down 37 soldiers at Fort Hood, that as big a tragedy as this was, it'd be even a greater tragedy if our diversity, our beloved, our blessed diversity, was a casualty of this episode. So consequently, everything is run according to liberal principles. And what has happened to people of the South in particular, we're the most conservative part of the nation. 73% of white Southerners voted for the Republicans in the last congressional elections back at 2010. That's a higher percentage than any group, other group. For example, Catholics, who tend to be white throughout the nation, only voted 53% for the Republicans, but we voted 73%. Also, it was our ancestors that primarily settled the interior West. I've heard the West described before as the South without a race problem. They think similarly to us. That's why all the cowboys in the old movies used to speak with Southern accents. That's, you know, just the reality of it. We are two different nations. There is a fissure there, and we've used everything else we can to explain it, except for geography and except for American history. But, you know, maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Maybe rather than, we need to get back to the importance of race and ethnic origins. Most Southerners are descended from Scots-Irish primarily. They were the people that were driven to the margins of England, either to places like Cornwall or Wales or Scotland or Ireland. They're the Celtic people. The people that settled New England were basically Southern English from places like East Anglia. There apparently is a great difference in the primary outlook between these two groups. And as much as Southerners and as much as people in Red State America try to pacify, try to compromise with Blue State America, the Blue State powers that be, and this doesn't apply to everybody in Blue State America by any means, and we know there are wonderful numbers of good conservatives in Blue State America, but they continue to fight us. They are never pacified. They're never satisfied. We never give enough. And it leads you to the conclusion that they're really not interested in reaching any type of peaceful resolution. They just want an excuse basically to annihilate us, or at least annihilate our way of life and our basic outlook. And it's time for us to say, like our ancestors did, possibly, maybe we really are two nations. And maybe ethno-national politics, which Pat Buchanan endorses, which a lot of paleo-conservatives endorse, should apply right here in America, at least if we're not going to be allowed to run our government according to our own vision of what's right and wrong, James.
Keith, I can't agree with you more, my friend. Great commentary, as always. I'm going to ask you a quick question. We're going to try to sneak in one last call this hour. Just the name will do. Since this is your last segment before the end of the month, before the end of Confederate History Month. Favorite Confederate?
Nathan Bedford Forrest.
There you go. Always a winner for a Memphian like us. Okay, if we have the time, we're going to try to get in a caller who's been waiting in California. We're bouncing all over the place again, Keith, all over the country tonight, people tuning into the cesspool. California, you're on the air.
Thanks, guys. Are either of you familiar with a gentleman named Daniel Carver?
Yeah, from Howard Stern's Whack Pack, I believe.
Right, and, you know, a lot of people love him, and to tell you the truth, I do too. You know, and when he would go on Howard Stern Show, he had huge ratings.
Right.
I mean, I love the guy. I've got his tapes. And, you know, his favorite Confederate was Nathan Bedford Forrest. Basically, he agrees with everything you guys say, and I can never understand why you guys kind of laugh at the Ku Klux Klan and you don't think they're credible and you don't want anything to do with them.
Well, for obvious reasons, I think at this point, it's just a dead issue. It's just, I mean, what is the Klan? I mean, I don't even know what the Klan is. But, I mean, no, I mean, I don't want to have anything to do with organizations like that. It's just not, I mean, even if the people in the Klan were people like us who are just misunderstood, it's just not an effective way of doing things. They have been too marginalized. It's just a fact of the matter.
Well, I understand, according to figures, that it's like, you know, there are 3,000 or 2,000 of them, and half of them or more are FBI informants. So it's just, you know, it's just a bugbear in the mind of the left. They can't let that go because that was such a successful strategy. They've got to have the idea that somehow the Ku Klux Klan is alive and well and is the secret power. They're kind of the left-wing version of the Bilderbergers or the Council of Foreign Relations. They are the Trilateral Commission. They're the ones pulling the strings. You don't have to have groups like that anymore because, quite frankly, what happens with the left is this. They vet everybody. There are all sorts of organizations throughout the country like Leadership Memphis, Leadership Cucamonga, Leadership Chicago, where they get the new emerging generation and they determine who are the big liberals in the group, and those are the groups that they promote. They also out all the conservatives so they know who to pass over when it comes to putting people on positions with charitable boards or things like this. That's how they control it.
1 hour down,
you know, there's no conspiracy going on.
And we got to go to a break, but I'll tell you this. It's a matter of what's effective. It's hard enough for us, an AM nationally syndicated radio program with certificates of recognition from the Memphis City Council to win people over to our righteous message. You go to your next door neighbor and tell them you're with the Klan, there's not a chance in hell they're going to join up with you, and most likely for good reason. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, and Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the 80s.